Are those digital things called NFTs art or business? I'm David Brancaccio. Now to a federal court verdict in a closely watched case involving intellectual property and the sale of digital artwork in the form of NFTs, non-fungible tokens. An artist named Mason Rothschild made digital images of handbags in the shape that some would recognize as the Birkin bag from the luxury firm Hermès. The artist then made these images into NFTs to sell, not Birkins, but Meta Birkins. The jury in New York yesterday decided the artist violated the trademark rights of Hermès and awarded the French firm $133,000. The jury may have seen NFTs as more art than business. Hermès had called Rothschild a digital speculator, but how is this different from, say, Andy Warhol's famous Campbell soup cans? One of the experts who lent expertise to the artist's defense is art critic Blake Gopnik, who appears on this program from time to time. Welcome back, Blake.
Thank you very much.
When you look at the image, first of all, it's not just an Hermès designer Birkin bag that you see. It is altered by the artist. That's something people need to understand.
Yeah, it looks pretty much nothing like any real-world Birkin bag. It's covered in one color or another of fake fur. And Birkin bags are all about, you know, high-class simplicity. And this thing is, boy, not high-class in any way. It's clearly some kind of a joke about Birkin bags.
There's a test for some of this called the Rogers test, which allows artists to use trademarked stuff in their pieces as long as they qualify as art. And there was another part of this. They don't expressly try to confuse consumers. But then there's the question of what qualifies as art, and you, an art critic, wasn't allowed to testify.
Yeah, you know, it seems pretty clear to me that these things are right smack in the middle of the Warholian tradition in art. They're commenting on the world of commodities. That's what artists have been doing at least since Andy Warhol in the early 1960s. It's obvious to me, if he'd wanted to really confuse buyers, he wouldn't have covered his Birkin bags in fake fur. He wouldn't have made them as JPEGs anyways, right? These aren't bags. These are pictures of bags. And artists make pictures of things.
But Blake, I have to bring it up because you have appeared on this program in months gone by being deeply skeptical about the art that underlies many of these non-fungible tokens, these digital assets known as NFTs.
You know, I'm not at all skeptical about the art that underlies them. Those are just pictures like any other picture. You know, Mason Rothschild was selling JPEGs. I'm just skeptical about the fact that these NFTs attached to the art mean anything. And one of the things that Hermès was arguing in this case was that they weren't really objecting to the digital images. They were objecting to the NFTs. Now, that's kind of weird because NFTs don't mean anything unless they're attached to something.
All right. So now the verdict is in. And your man, the artist, Mason Rothschild, has lost.
Yeah, I'm heartbroken about it. I think it's a terrible decision, but I assume that this thing's going to go to appeal. And I just can't imagine that when it goes to appeal, which after all doesn't involve a jury, then it's a bunch of judges making the decision. I can't imagine that they won't overturn this. It really does seem kind of open and shut that this stuff is art, and artists are allowed to make art about whatever they want.
Art critic Blake Gopnik, a frequent contributor to the New York Times, but in this case was working for the team that was defending the artist in this case. Blake, always good to talk to you.
A pleasure, David.
And it is a puzzle here in February, the strong, strong employment report that we got at the end of last week versus even today, another tranche of thousands of people getting laid off from bigger companies, often tech firms, but from other big companies as well. The latest is Disney announcing it would end the jobs of 7,000 of its people. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG.
I think you're sort of seeing two things going on. One, it's a tale of two economies. We've got job openings in the firms with less than 250 employees picking up at the end of December. At the same time, job postings by the larger firms, those with over 5,000 employees, actually declined. We're also starting to see this sort of rolling recession. So we've had a recession in the housing sector, and that spread into the tech sector. Advertising is pulling back. Media layoffs have been very high. But so far, we've been able to absorb those layoffs with hiring elsewhere in the economy. And that's really important, is that even in the employment data, we've seen that those people who lose a job very quickly get a new job out there.
KPMG Chief Economist Diane Swonk.
The big drugstore chain, CVS, is paying nearly $11 billion to go deeper into providing not just prescriptions, shampoo, and Pringles potato chips to customers, but into delivering primary health care to people on Medicare. CVS already has an insurance company, Aetna, and a pharmacy benefits firm and a home care provider. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Oak Street provides care to mostly older people through Medicare. Buying it is part of CVS's quest to become a one-stop shop in healthcare, says John Palizza, a retired Walgreens executive and former lecturer at Rice.
I think CVS is looking at that market and saying, well, if we capture that at the primary care level, we'll also probably capture much of it at the prescription level. And seniors, of course, take a lot of prescriptions.
Oak Street is also in what's known as the value care business. Instead of providers being paid for every test and procedure they do, they're paid a lump sum per month for the overall wellness of the patient. Elizabeth Anderson is a managing director with Evercore ISI.
Instead of just saying, hey, we're going to see you, you know, once a quarter and we'll renew your prescription or whatever, it might be like, hey, please come in every single week for the next month and we'll make sure your diabetes is under control.
It's more time-consuming, but the idea is to prevent more serious conditions that would be a lot more expensive. The deal is, of course, not done. Still has to get past regulators. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.